What's up, everybody? Welcome to the first episode of Inside Acting, where we bring entertaining to entertainment. I'm your host, William Powell.
And I'm Nicole DeOlio, the co-host.
Talking with one of the best acting coaches in the business, John Pallotta, out of New York City. John is coming down here to D.C. in February to drop some knowledge on all us thespians. Hey, before we get rolling, Udall, how was your week?
My week was actually pretty tiring, but good. How was yours?
Yeah, mine's been pretty good, too. Last weekend, I auditioned for a role in a romantic comedy. Everybody and their mama was there. A lot of people. The wait to the audition was about an hour. And I decided when I read about the audition online to read for the part of the DJ. And I got in there, saw it was an on-camera audition. And when I stepped into the room, they took one look at me and said, "You're not a DJ. Let's have you read for the doctor."
I mean, I know exactly why they did that. I mean, you know, you don't look like a doctor. You don't look like a DJ. Not at all.
I get that all the time. Hey, that's the story of my life. So I read for the doctor, and it was a very tense scene. A character named Carol was having a heart attack, and I was yelling at people and throwing them out of the room. And about halfway through, the director says, "Cut." And he asked me, "You do theater, right? I want you to tone it down a little bit for the camera." You know, and that's really a common mistake that stage actors make when they do stuff in front of the camera. So you listeners out there, don't yell like I did. Hey, before we talk to John, let's find out what's going on in celebrity news.
Okay, here's our celebrity news. Megan's story, of course, is that Beyonce and Sean Carter, a.k.a. Jay-Z, they became the proud parents of Blue Ivy Carter, born on January 7th. Congratulations to the new parents. Jay-Z released a song on his website, actually called Glory, in his baby girl's honor. That was so sweet and adorable. But one quick note, I say to the parents, I just give you this little bit of parenting advice, and that is, call your little girl Ivy, not Blue. It's a little hint.
I agree with that.
Next story is that Turntower has a messy divorce. Features allegations of violence, death threats, extortion, racial slurs. It's said to be the one of the nastiest he said, she said cases in the history of celebrity splits. His wife filed for divorce in early January. I believe it was 2010. Actually, they've been fighting over stuff for the last year. I suggest, as a relationship coach, that they read a book called Karmic Relationships, because there's some payback in here somewhere. Somebody's reaping the benefits of past transgressions, so they have a really, really crazy divorce going on.
So tell me now, is this the chick that he married like 20 years ago and they were on and off again, or is this a new chick?
No. This is somebody else he met. I think he had met her only maybe a year before they got married or something like that. Very short.
Oh, he needs relationship coaching.
Oh, he does. You know, I'm available, you know. I'm sure he can afford my feet. Next quick story, Snoop Dogg was busted for drug possession in Texas. And some people say, wow, yeah, that's old news. Yeah, but it was specifically in a place called Sierra Blanca, Texas, right outside of El Paso. The real news, though, is that another person, a country singer, Willie Nelson, was arrested in the same place for marijuana possession in 2010. But there's a pattern here. Warning, celebrities doing drugs, stay away from this area.
You think they'd learn.
You think they would. Let's end on a happy note. Betty White turns 90 on January 17th. Happy early birthday, Betty.
Yay,
in celebration,
Betty.
In celebration this past Sunday, a big party took place in L.A. where NBC taped a TV special called Betty White's 90th Birthday, a Tribute to America's Golden Girl. I really love Betty. She's the epitome of fine acting and comedic timing, long enduring career. Happy early birthday, Betty.
Quite an actress.
But that's all we have tonight for celebrity news, so back to you.
All right. Okay, I see our guest has joined us, and we'll just bring him on here. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, man. All right, man. All right, good to hear from you.
I'm having a grand time.
That's good, man. So what you been up to?
Me, oh, God, just working hard. I just finished class.
Uh-huh.
It was a great class, very, very good class. Probably had about 15 people here, very good actors.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And just threw them out.
Okay.
Cool. So can
wow.
you're great coach. Can you train anybody to act?
No, I don't train anybody. There's an audition process, and, you know, there's a master class, and there's the beginning, the intermediate, and then there is the master's level.
Okay.
And, you know, the master's level are people that are, I guess, professional in the business, and, you know, they are, I guess, it's an audition class, interview, or recommendation, and you know, people that have reached a certain plateau in their life where they're, you know, I mean, I have people in my Washington, not Washington, but people in my New York class, if you've been to the website, that are, you know, pretty professional, you know, a certain level in their class. And, you know, let's such as Joe D'Onofrio and other named people. You know, I just separate them. There's the beginners, intermediate, and the masters and advanced together. And I just, you know, the intermediate and the advanced are together, and some of them, and the advanced and masters are separate.
So, but, John, let's
you know, the
let's
beginning
back up
and intermediate, you know, sometimes there's an audition.
Let's back up a little bit and just get back to the essence, man. This is like really the essence of what you teach.
What was that, Will?
Let's talk about the essence of what you teach. How would you describe the core? I mean, your core beliefs as an acting coach.
Well, you know, my method is simply this. You know, although I was raised and I studied method for a large portion of my life. I also studied Meisner and Alexander, as well as Spoolin and Viewpoints and the other method that sounds like a motorcycle, which.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I guess, Suzuki, whatever the hell they call it. I didn't study that, but, you know, that's one of the few I didn't. But I studied Brecht. My writing is mostly Brecht.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for me, you know, I learned when you're doing this so long as I have, for me, it's acting is a state of mind. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's about innocence. It's about imagination. It's about vulnerability. It's about bringing out the potential qualities you were born with as a child. And the
right.
less you act like an actor and the more you act like a child, the more in the moment and professional you will be.
Mm.
So, you know, my belief is I do not believe in acting. I believe in life. And I am not a teacher, but I'm a coach. And I believe there's a difference.
What do you think the difference is?
A teacher, in my opinion, grades. You know,
uh-huh.
I believe I'm less of a teacher, more of a compass, a guide. I believe that everybody has something within them. You know, if they have something worth cultivating, something that's worth bringing to the table. You know, as I said the other day, I see too many young people, you know, meandering around, not knowing where they're going, not knowing why they're here. You know, they want to be famous and they want to be ambitious and they want to be successful, but you know, that's only desire, Will. That's only desire. You know,
right, they have the desire, but no plan.
They have no plan. You know, there is this thing called the journey. And the destination is just as, the journey is just as important as the destination.
Right.
So, you know,
absolutely.
And I tell my people, That's most important, that the journey is just as important as destination. And sadly, you know, a lot of folks that come and I do turn people away, that, you know, that they just want the quick fix, they just want the fame. And you know what, Will? There is no fame. Fame is within. You know,
right.
Fame is something that is inside of us.
Absolutely.
You know, I didn't get into this to become famous. I got into this because this is what I love to do. You know, and
exactly.
and you know, it's funny, but a funny story. Also sad. A couple weeks ago, and my class actually got a big kick out of it. Because this girl calls up, and, you know, just because I'm in a few movies, you know, I mean, luckily, I don't have a good, it's not like I have a lot of movies. I don't. I'm nobody. I'm just a small acting teacher, you know, acting coach, excuse me. I'm swallowing my own words. I'm not famous. I'm struggling just like the next person. You know, my classes are, there's lots of space. It's never full. You know, don't let the people tell you otherwise. You know, this woman calls, this young girl calls, and she goes, I don't need classes. I just want to be in a movie. You know, and I'm like, it doesn't work that way because there has to be a cause before there is an effect. Do you know what
That's
I mean?
Right.
You have to earn it before you're able to weave its benefits. She goes, you know what? I haven't got all day to be old and gray like you. I have to be out of my house by the time I'm 18. And, you know, I stood there and I paused for a moment and I said, you know what? I'm not gray. That's the only thing I'm talking about. I'm like, you know, she has to be out of her house. So she had to be out of her house by December 1st, which was whatever, you know. And, you know, it's just I can't let someone like that in my class.
Wow.
No,
wow.
I couldn't. But, you know, someone like
that's
that
amazing.
Will deflate your classes, bring them down. You know, and then I told you the story about, you know, someone wanted to be in my advanced class, in my master's class, and, you know, that class is like sanctuary. That's where my advanced people are, my master's people. You know, I have a couple star people in there, and, you know, some of my people that have been with me 4 or 5 years, you know,
right.
they want that sanctuary where, you know, they can let loose and go free. I'm not going to let brand new people in there, you know,
understood.
And, you know, it just, you know, some girl wanted to be in that class, and I said, do you have anything that you can show me that you've done? You know, and she showed me that resume with her with 32 red carpet events.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
That's supposed to be acting?
You know, but it's a convoluted thing that, you know, and I do get, you know, because I'm not a school, I'm a coach or whatever, it's me still, you know, I don't have a people set up. It's me still answering my own phone. And, you know, so I get all the stories. I get, you know, people saying they want to be movie stars. And, you know, I says, I'm not there to make you a movie star. And they hang up. I get people that say, oh, are you a casting director? And before I even say, no, I'm not, they hang up. You know,
relate to that. I can relate to that. I went up to, it was an agent up in Philly a couple years ago, and you saw all these young people in there. They had no theater. They had no independent films. They had nothing. They walked in there with nothing, and they're trying to be represented, and they don't have a body of work.
Yeah.
And you see that too often. Hey, John,
you
why
know,
don't you talk about a little bit, how did you get the nickname the Actor Whisperer?
Oh, how to get the nickname the Actor Whisperer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on a set. I do a lot of on-set coaching, movie
on-set. Uh-huh.
You know, and one of the movies I'm working on, which is Touched, T-U-C-H-T, it's spelled differently, featuring a supporting role, which
uh-huh.
I'm in as well as on-set coach, is
right.
John Leguizamo. And I'm in the movie. I'm playing... A very tough part. I'm playing a mentally and physically challenged man. I'm playing someone kind of like cross between Daniel Day-Lewis. You know, the character Daniel Day-Lewis played My Left Foot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with cerebral palsy. Also mentally challenged with the mentality of a 4-year-old.
Wow.
I'm also the on-set coach, so I was working on something on the film, and there was a reporter who saw me talking to an actor on the set, almost whispering to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the actor did the scene, and the director told me to please talk to the actor. So I'm whispering in their face, which the movie is about, you know, the movie I was working on at the time was about rape. And it was rape of a little child. That movie I was working on. And the thing is, there are kids 20 feet away from me, and you don't talk about something like that with kids 20 feet away.
Exactly.
I'm fine, and in the face of the other actor, just so the other kids on the set don't hear it.
Right.
You know, and the actor did a major transformation in character. You know, and the journalist saw this and saw the actor whisperer. I'm like, okay.
Oh.
You know, so the thing is, and, you know, that's something I've always done. You know, that's something I've always done for years. You know, and I learned a long time ago that, you know, kind of like the human, you know, mind. You know, there's like, you know what the synapse of the brain is?
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, there's behavior, and there's the impulse that goes through the synapse, the electrical impulse. You know,
right.
And the way it is, it gets lost in the translation. So the closer you are to that subject and you are looking them, the closer you are and you're right in their face, the chances are they're going to absorb what you're saying. And plus on a set, you know, one of the movies I'm going to be working on is Touch, which is $50 million. You know, there's no time to play.
Yeah, time is money.
Time is money, you know, and many of those actors are relatively, you know, and some of them, you know, there's a lot of A-list actors as well as Academy Award people behind the set, and I'm coaching, some A-list people as well as even the inexperienced actors that are involved, you know, and I'm like, it is. There's no time to play.
Right.
You know, you mess up. This may be your last movie.
Well, stakes are high.
You know, the thing is, that part of what I tell people is you think like an A-lister. This is where you are right now.
Check that out. Check that
out. I mean, I believe in this process called a state of mind. Sure,
right.
You know, you are an actor. This is an art form, but this is the reality. See that woman over there? You know, she's writing checks right now. And you do not want her not to smile. So, you know, a lot of it, I say that up front. But a lot of it, what happens when I'm talking to them is I'm putting a lot of creativity in their mind. And hopefully I'm touching their heart and their soul, and I'm putting them where they have to be as an actor.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
In the moment, I'm putting what's called a bombshell effect right in front of them. You know, just like, you know, Will, there's things that happen to you right, you know, as you're going, beginning your day, you wake up in the morning and things happen in your day that either get you upset or get you sad or happy, whatever the case may be.
Right.
You know, and they either make your day or break your day.
One girl you were talking to on your website, she was worked up into an emotional state. I mean, she was crying. I mean, she was like really had her going.
Yeah, that's what I do with what's called a bombshell effect. It's an old Lee Strasberg thing. The thing is, she was auditioning for a movie, and she had to play a blood. You know, the blood is she had to play, you know, a ruthless gangster. A
gang member.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
A gang member, you know, someone who killed her grandmother.
Mm.
You know, and this is an actress, the role she played, the monologue she did, she was doing the monologue of a TV executive. If you look at the words. So the thing is, it's slowly, you know, first, you know, I go, you know, did you ever picture wanting to kill anybody? You know, and she's like, yeah. I says, imagine that's your grandmother. And she just fell out. Only because, you know, listening or knowing, watching her, you know, I could tell that she was a very religious person. Well, you could tell that she, if you saw the video, you could tell that she's a God-fearing woman. I don't know if you picked that up.
But yeah, I kind of see that, yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, when someone comes in, you know, besides being an actor, as an actor, you're also a listener.
You gotta listen.
You do things and you guess things and you watch people and you listen to people. You know, and I guess that she was a very church-going woman. So this is what I dropped in front of her. And that one thing that said, you know, she had to play a killer. And the thing is, you know, I took the script away from her. And things I put in her mind were less on the script and more on things that had nothing to do with the script. The reason I say that is, yeah, because chances are, you know, the things that happen in your life, for example, when sure, the script is so very important, but, you know, I'm more into what's called anti-text analysis as opposed to script analysis. Well, everyone focuses, oh, the script is so very important. But, you know, when the, excuse the French, S-H-I hits the fan, what matters is the actual performance. You know, so the thing is, you know, what happens is when you're doing laundry, you know, laundry is in the actual act of doing laundry is boring, correct? But the thing is, if it's the 30th of the month, and, you know, here it is, it's 90 degrees, and you only have half your rent, and car payment is due, and they're about to take away your home, and your dog just ran away. You throw that into the mix. You know what? It makes the fact that you're doing your laundry so much more interesting.
Right. Life gets in the way.
Yeah, so the thing is I throw real-life elements into the mix, which has nothing to do with the script. It just makes the visual of the circumstances so much more appealing.
John, why don't you talk about your training growing up in New York City?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, my training is, I mean, I can't talk about it on the radio, everything I did. I get in trouble. I came from a neighborhood, Ozone Park, Howard Beach. Let's just say it was a 0% unemployment rate.
Okay.
And I will leave it at that. My neighbors were, mobsters and gangsters.
Oh, don't say.
And we'll leave it at that because they're also my friends on Facebook. in and out of the pen.
Okay.
But, you know, and the thing is, you know, even when you grew up, the movie Goodfellas depicts my neighborhood.
Okay.
You know,
get the picture.
Yeah. But the thing is, I fell in love with acting ever since I saw Al Pacino in what's called, not Fort Apache, the Bronx. What's the one where he robbed the bank? Dog Day Afternoon. And I said to myself, you know what? That's what I want to be. And I remember, like a year later, my friends and I were walking down the block in Hell's Kitchen. And all of a sudden, we saw Al Pacino walking down 9th Avenue. Oh, my God, we said to ourselves, that's Al Pacino. Let's follow him. And we followed him into this thing we thought was a church. And we're like, and Al Pacino prays? that's how we talk.
Wow.
But he doesn't pray. It was what was known as the actor studio. I ran up the balcony. My friends and I ran up the balcony, and he went to sit with people. You know, and we saw all these actors performing. So this is where I first found out that actors actually trained. So, you know, year later, I found myself, you know, studying in school. And that's where the process began in 1977.
Wow.
Actually,
wow.
You've been in the business a long time.
Yeah, a long time. Now, when I say the business, you know, I for me, I really don't consider myself in the business. Although I'm in it, you know, I think the art is in me, if that makes any sense.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't go, like, running aimlessly.
So you're
around.
Doing it to do it.
I'm doing this because this is what I love to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, this is what I you know, wait to do. You know, I starved and I ran after it in the 70s and in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and
so instead of being a business, it's a passion.
Say what?
I think instead of being a business that you're just doing a job, it's a passion.
This is my passion, and like I said the other day, I have my PhD in passion. You know, granted, I barely passed by the skin of my teeth in college. You know, with, I don't know, I can't count that low at 2.7 or index. But I yet in my with my bachelor's, I graduated my PhD in passion, which there is a difference. You know, the thing is, till this day, I can have Yale graduate, Harvard graduate, whatever, Syracuse, which was then considered better than Syracuse University, better than anyone other.
John, we're kind of getting low on time here. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about your class you'll be doing down here in D.C.?
All right. Yeah, I probably have about 26 people registered, and it's 30 days before I'm even open.
Okay.
Wow, good.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm very happy. I'm looking to make that a larger school. We're probably going to use the Source. You familiar with the Source?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, and the Source we're probably going to be using. I'm just waiting for the papers to come in, you know,
uh-huh.
and the necessary documents to be sent back along with, of course, the big, I'm choking the money situation, but, you know, and they want insurance and all that stuff, which I guess is the usual thing. But,
oh, okay.
You know, we have Allison is my assist. I guess she's down there doing what she can to, you know, take care of enrollment.
Right.
Not a school. Once again, I'm not a school. I'm a coach. You know, I don't want people to think that I'm a big school coming there. You know,
uh-huh.
sure, I got some very nice endorsements from very nice people that, you know, believe in what I'm doing, but you know, I'm not a large school. I mean, I'm going down. There's people down there that are very, you know, large, and I'm not.
Okay,
so
I think we're getting low on time here, and I want to thank you for calling and talking to us tonight. And I'm sure we'll do it again some other time.
All right, I'm here.
And I just have a few things I want to put out there. We want to thank our listeners out there for tuning in. Don't forget to look for my workshop. I have one called Networking Tricks for Actors. It's going to be Monday night, January 23rd, from 7:45 to 8:45. It's $25. If you missed that one, it repeats January 30th, February 6th, February 13th, and the 20th. You can register at www.performingartstrainingstudio.com. Also, subscribe to my acting column, DC Actors Examiner. The best way to find that is to just Google the name DC Actors Examiner. You, Doll, do you have anything
yes.
you want to
say? Oh, most definitely. I've got to put a little plug in for my show. Please listen in to Relationship Homework. It's another show
uh-huh.
on Blog Talk Radio. You can go to www.relationshipshomework.com, where
uh-huh.
we are healing the world one conversation at a time. So join us every Sunday night, 9 to 10.
Okay. Hey, thanks. That sounds great. And this is your host, William Powell, encouraging all my fellow thespians out there to do something for your career every day and break a leg. Later, gators.